Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
What's up and welcome back to the Kind of Funny Games cast. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I'm joined by a motley crew of rebels over here. We got the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
I rebel.
The saddest boy I know, Barrett Courtney.
I rebel.
The big daddy himself, Greg Miller.
I rebel.
And the Texas Street Latino Heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds. The globetrotting, headshotting, rooting, tooting, three-point shooting. Nitro Rifle from Twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
We rebel.
What we do here, everybody.
Just have to be different, don't you?
It's what we do here.
All of us.
Okay. Okay. It was a good end cap.
Mm-hmm. All right. How y'all doing? Who wants to answer first?
Me.
Greg? Andy, go.
I'm okay.
Greg, how are you?
Feeling great, man. You know, the 30 minutes of Blessing trying to find that trailer right before this, just to hear from Rogue One, we rebel.
Yeah, could have done without that. Trailer, not even from Rogue One, right?
Oh, man.
You gotta love it. Of course, if you love Star Wars, if you love video games, you're in the right place. This is the Kind of Funny Games cast, where each and every week, we get together to talk about video games and all the things that we love about them. Of course, you can get it on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can also get it as a podcast by searching your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Games cast, and we will be right there for you. If you wanted to get the show ad-free and watch live as we record it, though, and get a whole bunch of bonus content, including the hit game show, Kinda Feudie, you got to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Just like some of our amazing Patreon producers have done, Delaney Twining and Tripod Plus Plus. Y'all are the absolute greatest. We appreciate all your support. If you don't have dollars to toss our way, that's totally cool. When you're buying games on the Epic Game Store, please use our code KINDOFUNNY, and at no extra cost to you, it helps us get paid. So thank you all for that. It really does go a very long way. Today we're brought to you by Rocket Money, but I'll get to that later because I want to get right into it. This is the Star Wars Jedi Survivor review, the follow-up to Kind of Funny's Game of the Year 2019.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
If you remember,
you can't go back and you can't change
you can't
that.
Go back. You
that'll
can't
forever
change.
Be the Game of
can't
the Year.
Can't change it, Andy.
Yep.
Andy,
we're going to Final Fantasy VII remake this.
The Final Fantasy VII Kind of Funny's Game of the Year remake, 2019 remake.
We got that's a good Blessing show right there.
Oh my God.
I love it
all
so
much.
All
these spirits just flying around and suddenly it's like, actually it was Sekiro.
Actually Sekiro, if you do a revote today, I think Sekiro is at least in the top 10.
Yeah, for sure.
Top 10. Wow. We need one more. Fucking star.
Yes. One more person to play Sekiro here.
That is so funny. Now here we are, everybody. It's time to review this game, one of the biggest releases of the year. Very excited to hear what everyone at this table has to say about it, but I want to start with our lead reviewer here at Kind of Funny for this one, Greg Miller. Greg, what would you give this on the Kind of Funny scale of 1 to 5?
I thought this through quite a bit, so we're going to monologue for a bit, and you're not going to interrupt. All right, Andy, you're not going to say a goddamn.
Do my best.
This is a damned if you do, damned if you don't review. And I think it's going to make for a really great, interesting discussion. Of course, no review is objective. You try to be as objective as you can when you review a video game, but your experience is subjective. We've all been on Slack. We've all had conversations in the flesh, as they say, touching, bumping, and you know, getting all over each other about what we've seen with this game. And a lot of the conversation has been glitches, bugs, crashes. It's worth pointing out, of course, that our entire review embargo and guide that came with this was like, yo, we're giving you the game, but here's the list of known stuff. There is a day zero patch coming the day you record your review, the day before embargo lifts. So a day zero patch has dropped. I have gone through, updated my save, played on it. It looks great. Does it solve the one hard crash I had that locked me up and I had to quit out? I don't know. Impossible to know. Does it solve the two doors that I couldn't open because they bugged out and I had to go to main menu and come back in and do this whole thing? I don't know. So you're in that classic situation with a video game, right, of you score it now and you score it low. And the question becomes, what do you think if you would have played it with all the improvements and the day was your patch that would have changed your score? Or do you score it high and people go, how could you possibly give a high score to this game that's clearly got problems and yada, yada, yada. Again, in my 16 years, usually, in the run-up to every big game that has a bunch of problems and a day zero, day one patch, guess what? On day one and day zero, those issues are still there in some regard. Maybe not as, you know, many things as we've run into. We were told not to connect to the internet. We were told not to turn on HDR, all these different things in there to make sure you could play it. And again, I think as a viewer or a listener, you might, oh my God, what? Like, they're doing their best, right? They're confident in this game and saying, yo, we are working on it still, but we want you to play it so you can talk about it ahead of time, which I do think goes somewhere with it. I've thought a lot about that and listen to feedback about that, and what does that do for the score, and what does that do for you? The long and short is, with the problems I've just listed for myself, I know a lot of people, and we'll get into it, have had the game crash over and over again, yada, yada, yada. All the problems I've just listed there can't stop me from giving this a 5 out of 5 and calling it an amazing game. I mean it in the most literal sense. I think since we introduced our scale, which if you're new here, of course, means nothing. It's just us coming up with an adjective for how we feel. A 5 out of 5 is not a perfect game. It's not even close to a 10 out of 10 from IGN or anything like that. It's just an amazing game. It's the most literal 5 out of 5 I've talked about here because I was legitimately amazed with this game at times. There's a moment I will never forget for the rest of my life, for the next 16 years, you hear me talk about games, right? And we get to 32. I was late to a meeting with you, Tim, where when I finally took off the headphones and walked over to you, I had a grin on my face, and I was like, that was the coolest shit I've ever done in a video game. And I want to be clear, a lot of the amazing moments I think in this game are story beats, turns, twists I didn't see coming. This was gameplay. This was playing a game. This was gameplay intermixed with the story, intermixed with a cutscene out of it. And I was like, that was smile plastered on my face the way I think you enjoy Fast and the Furious.
Oh, yeah.
Where I was just like, what an amazing moment that was for me. And when I'm removed from this game, it's not going to be me thinking about the two crashes or the two locked doors that I had to quit back out and come back into. It's not going to be the one crash I had. Again, that's just me. If it was, I was crashing every 15 minutes. If it was this, that, the other, blah, blah, blah. Different ball of wax, but from what I played and what my experience with, I think this is an amazing video game.
Barrett, I want to go to you next as our resident Star Wars guy, our resident Jedi Fallen Order guy. Of course, there's an amazing video essay you can go check out, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, about that. You definitely should do that. What would you give this game? And also, like, you beat it, correct?
Yeah. You want to give the context.
Sorry, I beat it around 20 hours.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I rolled credits at roughly 19 hours with 63% completion. I'm currently at 33 and a half hours with 83% completion and 41 out of 54 trophies. And we can
you
talk about
that
trophies.
Aren't you? Yeah, my boy!
We'll talk about it later. I agree with a lot of Greg's sentiment in the sense of so many amazing moments for this game that's, you know, building on top of the foundation that Fallen Order laid out with its gameplay systems, exploration, all of that. And I was a lot of times taken aback, and it felt staggering to see how much that they build on top of the first game from a gameplay, just like playing around as a Jedi sense, exploration, level design, combat scenarios, all of it I was just truly wowed by. And if I was giving a score just purely off of that, I would also agree with Greg's 5 out of 5, amazing. For me, what brings it down to a great for me overall, I would say for me personally, I felt kind of lost in the like first third of the story. There wasn't really any hooks, and maybe that's because I previewed it a month ago. I kind of saw that like early good chunk of the first third of the story, so maybe that was it. But it took a while for the game to kind of get its emotional hooks in me, because Fallen Order is such an important game for me emotionally for Cal's journey. And so this game had a high kind of hill to jump over on selling me of like, what else do we tell with Cal? And I said in my preview of, I think at worst, the story might just be another fun swashbuckling adventure with Cal and friends. And at best, I think it has the potential to possibly tell another in-depth emotional journey about a Jedi who is in the middle of a terrible time to be a Jedi. And I think where the story ends up is kind of somewhere in the middle of there. And I think that's just because I think the first third to almost halfway mark of the story was a little bit slow, and I was wanting more. And then you get to the second half, pretty much where Greg is talking about, of having that big smile. It was like from there on out is where I was like, okay, this is where we're going. This is the story that we're telling. And I wish that the first part of the game kind of built up to those things a little bit more to have kind of bigger moments hit me more emotionally. That, and then on top of the performance issues and a bunch of things, and you know, again, my very specific trying to loving this game enough that I was that I am in the middle of trying to platinum it, and even when I've had the roller coaster of like maybe I don't platinum this, still having, to the game's credit, wanting to explore, which I think is very impressive. Of like, even with this like little cool little platinum trophy out of reach, I was like, I'm just enjoying living in this game. So yeah, I'm excited to kind of talk in more in depth about it. But yeah, that's what my overall thoughts.
Andy, I want to pop over to you. How much have you played of this game?
I'd say I'm around 10 to 12 hours in. Probably, I'd say around 10 is probably the safest bet because my in-game clock said like 14 hours or something. And I usually just leave it sitting there idle for a while.
Dope beats you listen to?
Yeah, I'm just vibing. Making dope beats.
What's going on? What's going on?
Obviously, I don't really feel comfortable giving it a score, right? But I will say that as the PC guy that booted up this game and was like, oof, man, I cannot get a consistent 60 frames per second. Greg, can I get a PS5 code? And I booted that up, and I crashed immediately, and the frame rate looked also really, really bad. It's been like, this game does so many things well. Like, it took Fallen Order and it took all those little aspects of it and improved them in a lot of different ways. Any of the kind of issues we had about Fallen Order, it found ways to make those things better. And in those ways, it's really like, I always talk about the lessons learned. They're like, yeah, let you customize Cal however the hell you want. Let's let you fast travel, which was a freaking nightmare playing Fallen Order again recently. I think this, in many ways, is a lot better than Fallen Order, but I still am not like incredibly wowed by it yet. Hopefully we get to those moments, and maybe those moments will really surprise me. But I ended up going back to PC after noticing that on PlayStation 5, it does that dynamic resolution thing where when things get heavy, it looks like it drops like 1080p at times, and it starts to look really pixely and stuff. And on PC, I'm really hoping this day one patch works out. Blessing, you had what happened with this PC day one patch?
So if you're playing with the reviews, right? Like in the review copies, they mentioned that, hey, once you update to the day zero patch, there's a chance that it could bork your save, right? And that's okay. Just how things are.
And again, that's just us with the review code. That's not right. Something yeah. You, a consumer, would have to worry
from
about.
From what I've seen, right? For me, I updated it on PS5 because I was like, you know what, man? I'll take the chance. Why
yeah,
not?
Take
and
a
I
roll
was,
the dice.
And I also had a cloud save just to prepare just in case. And so I did that, and my save was fine. I was like, thank God. But then I saw somebody who is in the same Discord who's also reviewing the game on PC. They updated their game, and they lost the save as a reviewer. And so you're at risk.
Okay. And I would say, even because like you were successful in that, and I think Greg, you also updated as well. Like, y'all had
PlayStation 5.
Success with PS5. Like, I'm still nervous about going home and updating on PS5, especially with the 83% completion that I have and 14 trophies left to get a platinum. Like, I'm worried of like.
But Baird, you play Persona 5 like 4 times a year, so you should be.
But I don't anymore. Here's the thing: is like, I'm way more busy than I was when that game came out. You know,
my love affair with this game, it was the idea of when I did it. It was just like, worst case, I have to play it again. Which I would
and I'm of so two I'm minds about that. It, yeah, it's more of just like the collectathon. Like, I've done so much.
Oh yeah,
work
I understand.
But again, I know that's like such a specific mindset to have of like how to play a game. Like, honestly, I'm just worried for like Gerard the completionist if he ever has to tackle this game. Of like, I don't know how he's gonna do it, and I hope he is, you know, taking care of himself while doing it. But yeah,
So just like regarding technical issues and bugs and all that, I haven't crashed nearly as many as some of you all have mentioned.
Yeah, I've only crashed once in 33 and a half hours.
I crashed for my first time last night. Now, aside from that, like...
On PC.
On PC, right, yeah. On PlayStation 5, I did crash kind of right in that sort of first tutorial area where you kind of learn how to do combat and stuff. But on PC, it's like, I have a very, very good machine, and it's just very discouraging that this game cannot run well at all. I think I've maybe seen over 60 frames per second for a grand total of maybe 10 combined seconds, like as of playing it, right? But there are a lot of moments that have discouraged me from exploring this sort of open world, open zone area where I want to go explore. And I want to go, you hear a little NPC be like, hey, I heard something about this area. And you're like, oh, let me go check out this rumor or whatever. I have been discouraged in doing so because I'm going down to 25 frames, 40 frames, 35, 45, 52. Like, it's a fucking shit show in a lot of different areas. But again, this is a game that has, that I have really no reason to not like because it did everything I was asking for Fallen Order. Mm. So gameplay-wise, I think it's a lot of fun. I would, if I'm going to give it an early number, I'd say around a 4 out of 5 as well. The traversal, all the improvements and additions to combat, the additions to traversal, really, really fun. Getting to areas where you kind of start to feel like you're in a flow.
Oh, yeah.
And you're jumping from thing to thing and then zip line, and then now you're climbing here. Like, it's made it fun and less of the laborious Nathan Drake, well, I gotta climb the fuck up there, so let's do this, right? It's made it engaging and active.
Let alone, I mean, tip of the sword for stuff you'll unlock as you go on. Like, that stuff only gets better. And I thought it was already great in Fallen Order. I enjoyed it so much in Fallen Order. But, like, to get back into the groove here and be like, oh, right, that's what this game is. Like, you know, we talk about being completionist, right? But I think there's the platinum chasing part of it, but then there's also just the, oh, shit, that's a runnable wall.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, I'm going to run up there. I'm going to keep jumping, and there is something up here.
There's always something up there. Yeah. That's what I love about it. They reward you.
And that's, the credit of what I was talking about earlier of just, like, how impressive and staggering it is of, like, how much they've built on top of the fun factor in a lot of different ways. And, yeah, even having a couple of times where I'm like, maybe I'm not going to get the platinum, but still wanting to be like, oh, what's that over there?
Yeah.
And let me just stare at this puzzle for like 20 minutes before I like figure it out, and having fun with it, not getting frustrated. And yeah, seeing those like, oh, that's a runnable wall, or oh, I can grapple up here now. And all that stuff is like, again, exploration and having fun with the exploration. Yeah. I think
it's so
amazing.
The only reason I'm worried to kind of be like, hopefully the day one patch fixes a lot of shit, because Fallen Order on PC is still broken in a lot of spots.
Yep.
So, like, it's been 4 years since that game came out, and in that playthrough, I'm still hitting areas where it's like, why am I getting 30, 35 frames per second right now? What's happening in this fucking world, and why can't my hardware run this? So, like, I can't just say, but you should be good with the day one patch, because we just really don't know, like you mentioned earlier. But
it's still
a game I recommend. Like, it's a lot of fun. I love the acting. I love the characters. I love the customization options. Holy shit, that's like, that's like my dream come true of making this lightsaber and having even more options than you thought you wanted, and customizing BD1 and having so many different color options. It's all that shit is like just 10 out of 10 amazing. I love that stuff. It's the technical stuff I am worried about.
And to be clear, I'm not saying that with the day zero patch, this is 5 out of 5. I'm saying with the problems I personally had and frame rate drops or whatever, I'd still say I was amazed by this game.
Level design, mission design, combat, the enemy variety. Love it.
Bless, what about you?
Yeah, I think for me, the thing with the day zero patch is that this review period has had so many shades of Cyberpunk 2077 for me when I reviewed that game, where there is so much in the review packet of, hey, look out for this. Hey, we're working on this. Hey, there's going to be a big day one patch. And then there was a big day one patch, and that didn't fix nearly enough to make it a game that would be received by the audience and be like, oh, okay, no, this fixed everything. And so for me, like, that has painted my experience with the game, right? Like, I only had one crash, but there are so many moments while playing the game where I feel like it's barely holding itself together. And I've had plenty of bugs, right? Bugs where I'm talking to a character, and the character starts sliding across the room and their legs aren't even moving, right? They're just levitating across the room. I've seen plenty of parts where, like, the shadows of characters are just appearing as squares, right? I'm seeing a lot of ugliness in terms of the optimization. And I'm even playing on PS5, which anecdotally seems like PS5 is the hardware where it's running the best. And even there, I get to Kobo, which is like the second planet you get to where everything's open, right, and has a lot going on, and it starts chugging like crazy, and I'm like, what is going on here, right? And it's not and this is all in performance mode, and I am not getting performance out of that thing. And for me, that has painted a lot of my experience. I'd say outside of that, in terms of my general reception of the game, I think the thing I'll compare it to would be my review of Wulong Fallen Dynasty, where for me it's the exact opposite of that game for me, right? Where Wulong Fallen Dynasty was a game that I absolutely fucking love the combat system, and I love, like, it felt so fluid to play. I think that game ran very well, but there are moments where the aesthetics of the game don't do it for me, right? Like, I wish that game was prettier. I wish that game had story content that I cared more about. I wish that game had, like, character stuff that I cared more about. Jedi Survivor has all that stuff on the flip side, where the actual content of Jedi Survivor, I think, is fantastic. I think the world is really cool to move around and, like, level to level. I am like, man, this looks stunning, especially when gorgeous. I'm standing still and not turning around my camera, right? Like, as a still, that game, it's gorgeous. It has a lot of great design. The openness of places like Kobo and other places is really cool, and I'd say really well done. And, like, you know, the characters are cool. The enemy variety is fantastic. Like, moment to moment, I am meeting new enemies where I'm like, dude, I didn't know we had more droids. Like, I didn't know.
You want me to tell you all about the BX droids, yeah, the B1 and B2s?
I didn't know Star Wars had so many, like, weird guys. Like, there's, like, an alien. I don't know if I can talk about them, but, like, there's one that you meet on Kobo that's, like, a fucking Rick and Morty character. And I'm like, what the fuck are you?
Oh,
like,
you're talking about my boy Turgle?
Yeah, Turgle. Turgle's the homie.
Voiced by
Ratchet and Clank guy.
I was Raz from Psychonauts and Zim from Invader Zim. I'm blanking on his name right now. But, yeah, I met him in the preview, and Turgle's the fucking homie.
Turgle is my guy. That said, on even the flip side of that, story-wise, I'm not connecting with the story as much as I thought I was going
to. How are you?
I'm only 11 hours in, right? I'm probably somewhere around the same place as Andy. I checked my percentage of completion for the main story, and I'm like 43 to 50%, somewhere in that range. So I'm like halfway through the game. And it might be the thing that Barrett's talking about, where Barrett mentioned, like, the first third, the story wasn't as hitting as much as when you get further into it and it started to hit way more.
Yeah. There's a big particular moment that you get to that I think it would be obvious of, like, okay, here's where we're going.
Okay, and story. I'm hoping that happens with me. So far, I am like, cool, I'm just in it for the ride. Like, I'm not really caring about character motivations and back and forth. And I remember playing Jedi Fallen Order and caring about that stuff way more at this point. But right now, I feel like I'm being sent on fetch quests. I know, like, the overall goal and, like, where they want to go, but each quest feels like almost like an Uncharted, like, all right, now go over here. All right, now go over here. All right, now go over here. But I feel like there's even less motivation in terms of, like, the substance that I'm getting out of, like, motivations and character back and forth and things that keep me engaged in the story itself.
And it's that particular part of the story that you're at and that you're talking about where mm-hmm. it's like, I was really struggling of, like, really caring, and I was in that same place. And that's the area where I feel like they could have shown a little bit more of certain characters to kind of, again, make the payoffs of the later parts of the game, like, hit way more. So yeah, I totally understand where you're at right
and
now.
Like, again,
for me, to jump in here, because I understand what you're talking about. For the Fallen Order to first 10 hours to hit harder than this, I totally get, right? Fallen Order is such a strong start, right? Of, like, who Cal is, how he got where he is, what he's been hiding, his force abilities, why, let's see, Order 66, all that jazz, right? What I like so much about this one was that first off, I mean, I'm, you know, I love Fallen Order and I love Cal and I love where we left. I loved everything we got there. So to get back here and have it be that, like, all right, cool. Where is the team? Where is Grease? Where is Seer? What's been going on? Like, try to connect those pieces. Then to, you know, slowly have people reintroduced or introduced for the first time, learn their relationship, kind of find out that Cal's been running, you know, as on his own or, you know, with a new group or whatever, all these different things. Like, I liked easing into that and kind of being not disoriented, but, like, learning a new rhythm for what was going on, but then bringing it back to what I knew and loved. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, I think it does such a great job of building up of, all right, this is what the game is, or is it, kind of thing. Or, like, this is what the story is, or is it actually, you know, like, oh, okay, cool. I like that, but I can totally get where 10 hours in, or even once you've wrapped it, you're just like, oh, well, I want to get there.
And I will say, to the story's credit again, like, where I left off after rolling credits is, like, Fallen Order to me, and what made it so special is, like, they kind of wrapped it up like almost too well in case they didn't get greenlit for a sequel, that it feels like this can be a one and done story and we never see this character again. And I'm like kind of happy I don't need more kind of thing. Where I left off with Survivor after rolling credits, I need a sequel as soon as possible. Like where things are kind of left off, I'm like, things feel unfinished in a good way. Like not in like they didn't end the story, but of like, there are so many interesting things now that I think set up for a sequel.
For me, it's like, hey, Horizon Forbidden West, look at this ending. It's not the Horizon Forbidden West. Hey, guess what? This was actually all setting up part 3. Like, do we tell you this is all going to be about part? Like, why are you introducing this in the last 20 minutes of this game, right?
It does Whereas a great job of telling its own story while also setting up
one,
for the future.
This one also could stop here, and you'd be like, man, I'd always want to know what happened to Cal, where we went from this. But instead, it's like, okay, cool.
And again, like, this is me only in the first half of the game.
Sure.
Right? This is me about 50% of the way through, and that could change. But to the point you guys made of, oh, yeah, like, if my save works, like, I play the game again. Like, that's worst case scenario. For me, I was like, dude, if my save works, worst case, I'm just not going to play the rest of the game. Like, that honestly is kind of where I'm at right now. And even on the gameplay level, I think the combat is really good, right? They're piggybacking off of everything they set up with Jedi Fallen Order. But this time around, for some reason in combat, like, I think it's great. I don't think it's fantastic for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I am not in a place where I'm completely engaged. I think the things I like about the combat is they do give you the feeling of being a Jedi, right? Which is the most, like, stereotypical review thing to say.
Back of the box quote.
Yeah, but it's true, right? Like, getting into a combat scenario, force pulling somebody, stabbing them with the lightsaber, right? Having different stances, being able to switch between the things, and, like, feeling like a powerful Jedi is really fun.
Not getting laid.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly, yeah. All those parts of being a Jedi is fantastic. I love it. But as just purely a combat system, I don't find myself as engaged into it, right? Like, I find myself wanting a bit more of focus. This combat system feels like it has a, like, everything in the kitchen sink approach to it, where it is, here are all these abilities, here's everything you can do. You can be a Jedi, you have all these different decisions in combat, but I almost feel like the decisions don't matter for the way I'm playing. Mm. I feel like I can do anything and I can get through any enemy. Like, I don't feel like I have to strategize at all.
Interesting.
And, like, I'm playing on normal, just for reference for people listening. And, like, I don't necessarily love that about the combat system. Again, I think pulled back, I think it's great. I think they nail what they're going for, but I think I could get a little bit more out of that combat system.
I can definitely understand that, because it definitely feels like, you know, once you get introduced to the newer stances, like the blaster and the cross guard later on. Like, I touched the cross guard once and, like, noped out because I'm not a heavy guy, but I am interested to hear, like, when Andy ever gets there, like, how he feels about the heavy stance. And I do understand,
I like it too. Like, that's my thing is, right now my two stances that I'm rocking with are cross guard and then the dual lightsabers, and I switch back and forth. And for me, in my internal meta, my headcanon, my internal meta, my headcanon.
I love it. That's the new way to say it.
That's the new way to say it. In my headcanon, I use my dual lightsabers for, like, big groups, and I use my the cross guard for when I'm fighting one enemy, so it's like a standoff situation. Yeah. That's totally headcanon. That is not me strategizing for the video game, really.
You just made your OC. You made it a little
That's me being like,
that's
all
what
right,
Cal does, man.
This is my,
that's
what this your is Cal my does. OC. But yeah, like, I'm not as hooked in as I thought I was going to be this far into the game. And I think a lot of that is the performance. A lot of that is just bugs and stuff. But then some of that, I would say, is content. But overall, like, if you're somebody who's super into Star Wars, I think there's a lot to get out of here. But if I was to give it a review in progress score, I'll probably give it a 3 out of 5.
Tim, how do you like it?
Thank you for asking. I'm going to tell you right after I tell you a message from our sponsors.
How about that?
Shout out to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode. We all love gobbling up content, and we have an understanding of what subscriptions we use. Or do we? Do you know how much your subscriptions really cost? Most Americans think they spend around $80 a month on subscriptions, when the actual total is closer to $200. That's right. You out there. You could be wasting hundreds of dollars each month on subscriptions you don't even know about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and it helps you lower your bills, all in one place. Rocket Money has saved some of us here at Kinda Funny a ton of money, and it can help you too. Stop throwing away your money, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/kindafunny. That's rocketmoney.com/kindafunny. rocketmoney.com/kindafunny.
He's Iron Man.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
I love this here, y'all, because this is Star Wars. There's nothing more Star Wars than people consuming the same thing and having completely different experiences about every single element of it. I fucking love this game.
Hell yeah.
So many technical issues. I've played at this point 13 hours, but
PS5?
PS5, and my actual progress is only 10 hours because I've had a lot of crashes. And despite that, not getting in the way of my enjoyment, I'm a technical guy. I really care about the HDR.
It fucking sucks. I'm not even a tech guy. When I went home and put it on my big TV and it wasn't HDR, I was like, oof.
It's unfortunate.
It's beautiful. Like
Art design is beautiful. Yeah. Yes. And like at the end of the day, like so much of that stuff, like I don't think this is an ugly game. I don't think that like any of these tech problems like get in the way of it still being better than most games that I play. But having said that, it's like they do add up, and like there's a lot of audio issues. There's a lot of times where I'm getting like subtitles and I hear audio and I'm like, there's no one around me, but there's like dialogue popping off and things like that. But I don't want to focus on that stuff. Y'all already did. That stuff is all true. Heed that for sure. This game is just, it's pure Star Wars goodness, man. Star Wars and video games are peanut butter and jelly. Like, lightsabers are fucking cool. The force powers, the push and the pull of the L2, R2, the physics-based puzzles that we first saw in Jedi Fallen Order, the expansion of them all. But what I loved most about Fallen Order was the set of characters and how much I enjoyed all of them. The way the game was written, a greasy money, baby. But the way that they were written, the way the plot was written, and all of it, it felt like the Star Wars I loved the most. And we're at a time now where there's a lot of Star Wars that's not what I love the most. And some of it attempts to it and just kind of misses the mark. There's just like a fun, there's a drama, there's just a lot to be gained, I think, from loving the Star Wars world, the lore, like all of it to me just kind of adds up to being like more than the sum of its parts in terms of that stuff. But what I loved about Jedi Fallen Order was it was kind of like most of my favorite games ever combined, where it's like, it's a little Uncharted, it's a little Metroid Prime, it's a little this, it's a little that, and it's wrapped in Star Wars, right? Mm-hmm. Authentic Star Wars. This takes all of that, and the choice to have Cal start with all of his powers from the last game and only add from that is just such a breath of fresh air, and I think something that like this game, so far from what I've heard, is not getting enough credit for. Like Barrett talking about the building on the systems and building on everything, and Andy talking about how good it feels to climb and how fast it all is. It really does feel like you're starting the game as a powered up version of the end of another video game, and you just keep going from there. And I'm just having such a blast with all of that stuff where I'm like, damn, this reminds me of, let's add another Tim Getty's favorite game, Prince of Persia. The platforming elements are so rewarding and fun. And anytime you see a ledge, you're like, I can get up there and there's going to be something up there. Sure, that thing might just be like a new beard haircut, whatever. But like, I'm interested in the customization. Like, you can customize everything, and I want to customize everything. And I feel like the options they give are like fun and like allow you to make, especially in this game, Cal your Cal. And that was something that we all had an issue with in the first game. And like, of course, it's not perfect, but like, it's still Cal. You're not making you. And I think that that's an important thing to point out. Like, I do feel like I'm editing this character that is in the Star Wars universe, and I still feel like it's a real character that's not just an avatar.
Quick aside, did you all have a weird thing with Cal's hair where Sometimes it just looked like it was glowing in some moments, like when you turn and stuff.
Yeah, I think that was like places for me where like it's a little bit more like shadowy and like you're in caves and stuff. Like that's where
it looks like it's being illuminated.
Yeah,
I think like, where it looks like there's like another layer to it or something.
I think it's the thing where like I'm blanking on the term right now. It's a term I brought up in front of Corey Barlog, and he was like, "Look at the big brain on Brad." But it's the thing that they do to like make your ears look kind of see through. And tip of your nose and stuff. And I think that's what the hair is doing.
Opacity.
No, it's not.
No.
No, it's not. But like the other.
I was just at the Academy of Sciences today. That's not bioluminescence.
There's a lot of moments where like you walk into interiors and like a light will kind of hit you and your hair kind of glows. It's like, it's like the most important thing on Cal. Like, you know. But also I wish I could like dye my hair like dark brown, like my hair.
The ginger eraser of
Right?
Cooler mustache.
Wow, man. Bioluminescence is like fireflies. Never mind.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Andy, dude, I was right there with you. I was like, oh, man, I wish I could make it black, like my natural hair color.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not you. Ginger and that's what I enjoy about it, is this is Cal.
And that's my thing to the question, you know, the headcanon. Like, I had a whole headcanon with, like, you know, Fallen Order. You know, it's such an awesome moment to build your lightsaber, right, and put your kyber crystal in it. And I, you know, went with the hot pink one or, the pink one and that one. And so when this game opened up and I got the ability to go, I put it back to pink and I was like, oh, it doesn't work with the outfit I have right now. Mm. And not even just like fashion over function kind of thing. It was like, this doesn't feel right. And I ended up going green and I was like, I'll change this later on. And later on I went and started doing a whole bunch of different outfits and I was like, you know what? He's green now. This is what he did. He made this choice. Like, I had that whole thing and that whole,
stick with subsurface scattering. Thank you very much.
Shut the fuck up. This is my first version of Cal. He kind of dopey, but I liked this weird little like Fallout 3 item on him. Mm. You want to go to the next one, Kev? This is where I ended with them. This bomber outfit.
Fucking hot.
Fucking, he's cool. Cool.
Kev, can you bring up mine real quick? I put in my my outfit and my BD. And
I wish I forgot to screenshot.
Yeah, I totally.
I just took a picture of my TV because I don't know how to screenshot. But
the capture button.
There's a fucking button
right there.
You know what, guys? I wasn't gonna take the 5 seconds to Google how to get that from my PlayStation to wherever I needed.
Oh,
okay.
No, you can send it right to the PlayStation app.
Talk on KTV.
I need a PlayStation app. All right.
There's an upload
button. PC gamer right now.
But yeah,
you're getting closer and closer, bro.
No, I hate you. I'll never become you.
I'm all blue look, of course, for my Cal as much as I can, making it have the fashion over function look there. Like pretty much, I was like, what would Tim Geddes look like in space? Trying to go for that.
Yeah.
And then I went for the matte white with lime green pops. For
yeah, I like
saber.
That. Love it.
Green saber. Lightsabers are the only time in my life I'll choose green over blue. And then my BD matches the saber, of course.
Yeah, I was doing the same thing. There was a couple times I'd transition or do the colors, and it would be like, all right, well, BD has to match whatever Cal's in. The saber, Barrett calls me such a basic bitch about it, because I like, again, the saber is the saber. Like, I don't fuck with, because again, I don't.
You like Zorro T'Pol's
I do. Like, I love that narrative through it. And like, for me, that is what Cal's saber would be. And you want
to
go change
it. And you can check out my Fallen Order video essay to see like how I interpret kind of customizing your saber there and what that means for Cal and him letting go of T'Pol.
I just want to say real quick that my inspiration for my look, my saber, everything, it's very Leonardo chic. And the Ninja Turtles.
Oh, nice. Okay.
The blue with the lime green. So.
Look at this. This is a saber I was rocking for a while. Can you guess what inspired it? Little
Donatello Bo Staff, baby.
Oh,
yeah. That's really good. That's really good.
That's hot. I went for the saber, playing around with like a bunch of different kind of parts for the lightsaber. I don't want to say specifics because like I'm like now finding collectibles that I think are only collectible after credits. So I'm playing around a lot with that. I usually do like a stick with like a gold saber and then like the orange blade, which is the color that I chose in that moment in Fallen Order. Yeah. And for me, that's who Cal is. And then with his look, I have like the Han Solo vest with like that's blue. And then I have a nice like red shirt underneath it and kind of like army like pants at the bottom. And then I just found his original haircut from Fallen Order and I've been rocking that. And then before that, I had like a kind of like faded cut with like a kind of longer top that I liked. But I like his hair from Fallen Order. So when I found that, I was like, oh, this would have been cool to play through the entire game. And it was definitely a hair option that you could have found like 4 hours in. But of course, just again, with how crazy in depth the exploration is, it was something that
it's funny,
find until
last night I was doing, I, you know, I'm, I, I feel like we did so much in the front of like talking about all the tech stuff and whatever, right? Like, I can't stop playing this game. I wish we were done here, and I wish Jen and Ben were in bed so I could play right now and keep going. And again, not even for the platinum, just to go get everything. Yep. And last night, yeah, I ran into something I think you did in your first 5 hours, where it's like, oh, I'm going to go do this side mission. Okay, oh, there's a crack in the wall. 45 minutes later, I've cleared out this entire section, all this shit, yada, yada, and this thing pops that changed the map for me. I was like, oh, okay, cool.
It was something that, like, I texted you about, just, like, a quick story of, like, again, like, how impressed and wowed I was by the exploration on Kobo, and it was something I had to, like, I was like, Andy, are you awake? I need to talk about this. You find like
I still haven't found that place.
Yeah, like you get suggested of like, oh, hey, there's like this abandoned house over here. Yeah, and like 100%. At first it kind of presents itself as like this, oh, like quick, short, sad story about a droid. And then you're like, wait a minute, there's a crack in the house. Let's go in here. And then it turns into this like Labyrinth. Almost entire like mini dungeon. And then the way it's designed, once you get deep enough in, there's no meditation point. So to get out without dying, you have to get through the entire thing. And the way it was designed is, that I noticed afterwards, because I went back to get some collectibles, is that you kind of meet like kind of three mini bosses throughout the entire thing. And they're talking shit to you. They're kind of stuck inside like a little little jail cells. And I decided, like, at the time, I didn't think I could fight them in that moment. So they're just talking shit to me. And then I walk away. And at the end of this labyrinth, it traps you in a jail cell. And then all three of them jump you. And you have to fight three mini bosses with like kind of different like kind of weapons all at the same time in one room. But when I went back afterwards, I realized, oh, there's this like specific thing I could have used to open up each door.
That's fucking
and I could
have
fought them one on one.
Barrett texts me and he's like, oh, it's so hard. These three things. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so I'm doing this thing and I'm blowing open the gate for each one of these dudes, just rocking their worlds. Just destroying.
So
right? I'm fucking Cal Endgame. Like, bah, 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 yeah. And so but then I got to the end and it popped the thing and I was like, oh, fuck, this is what Barrett was talking about. Like, how did we have a different experience on it?
Yeah.
Greg, you were saying that you can't wait to get back to play and to keep collecting things and stuff. Like, I just want to go back to the differences between our opinions on this so far about the story and things. Like, this reminds me a lot of God of War Ragnarok, where playing it, I hit a point in that game where I was like, I am so invested in the story and these characters that I need to keep playing. Like, I need to know what's happening next. And simultaneously kept getting pulled away because every single side quest, oh man, I do want to do this. I as much as I want to know what happens next, I want to know what's happening here. And it's because I think the characters are so good in God of War Ragnarok. And I feel the same way about this game. I don't think it's as evenly paced as that. And like, I think at the end of the day, like my biggest takeaway from how I feel about Jedi Survivor is that it's just so close to being God of War Ragnarok level polish and stuff. Mm. But because it's not, it's easy to be like, well, this and well, this and well, this and well, this. But it's like, I'm more impressed by how close it is as opposed to how not.
What would you score it?
It is. I'm only 10 hours in. I can't imagine by the end of this it not being a 5 for me. Like, I'm really in love with it. And there aren't, not every single thing I love about it, but I feel like that the 5 might be like on the lower end of a 5, like translating it to a 10 point scale, it might be close. It would be a 9.
Sure. But we're not doing that. We only do 5.
And as I said, I want to beat it and see where it goes. But I again, would be shocked because I really am getting so much out of it. And starting the game up, the first area you're in, story wise, extremely cool. I'm a fucking Star Wars nerd, so I love it. But I was kind of like, okay, this is just going to be cool, but I don't know it's going to be the best game ever or whatever. And
so much good.
The
shit
game gets and honestly, there was some things that kind of frustrated me in the beginning. I was like, I don't like the signposting. I'm more lost than I should be. This doesn't feel how I want it to. Like all that stuff. The moment you get to the second planet, all that went out the window for me, and it was just like, okay. That was kind of the tutorial to get you back up to speed, which, to their credit, I think they do a good job having Cal be as powered up as he is. There was a lot they need to refamiliarize you with, and while that wasn't my favorite part mechanically, once I moved past that, I've just been in love with these characters, the old ones, the new ones, the locations we're going to. And then getting pulled away for the side quest. I can't wait to keep playing. And if you guys are saying the story only gets better, I'm like, that is fucking
fantastic. Yeah, it's weird the way everything is just flat circle and it all happens again and again. Because what I would love to do is watch you play those moments or whatever. But it's funny, on the way in, I listened to our Gamescast review of Fallen Order, right? Mm-hmm. And in it, one of the things I call out is that while we were doing the review for Fallen Order, Poe visited and I let him play the intro, right? Mm-hmm. And like, Poe gets here tomorrow for my birthday.
Oh.
And so I want to sit. He's a huge Star Wars fan. I want to sit. And he played Fallen Order and do that. I think that's one of the things I want. You said I don't love everything about it. What I find so interesting is, if you know, check all the technical things we've had at the door, but again, that, and specifically for me, at a 5 out of 5, that I didn't think took away from it. The two things that I like, I'm like, these are the only things I don't like about this, are the, when you're customizing, I wish you could customize every color rather than for Cal's outfits. You have like palette swaps, right? You go through and there's like 7 different options.
It's the old Destiny shaders. Sort of.
Yeah, exactly. You can't go in there and make it like your lightsaber where you can like primary, secondary accent. You can't do that for the outfits. You have to do that. And the second one is something I talked about. It turned out in the games cast before, which is just what these games are. And we're talking about Dark Souls or anything like that, right? Of like, when the boss kills you and you go back to the meditation point, and it's like, all right, do I either want to fight all these dudes again for no reasons, or the ads, or do I just want to run past everybody, do the whole thing, and get back to the boss?
You're dying on normal? That's crazy.
Fuck off.
Speaking of difficulty, real quick, I will say that like I feel the game, similar to the last one, is, and this is a criticism I have of God of War as well, it can be a little unevenly paced, and like it could be just such a breeze, then all of a sudden you face somebody and you're like, you're way harder than you should be, and it's not a like, here's a challenge, you can come back later. It just kind of feels out of place. Sure. But the game lets you change difficulty just going into options.
Yeah. On the fly,
I'm so impressed with how quick it is, and it doesn't penalize you at all. I've been bouncing between, like, my default is just the normal
Jedi Knight,
I guess.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of times when I'm just, like, exploring the world that I bump up one level harder just because I'm like, I want a little more challenge against these stormtroopers. And then with some of the bosses, I'm like, I might bump down after I lose a couple times because I'm like, I'm not having fun with this, and, like, I am having fun with the combat. But I just love that the game lets you do that. And
Agreed. And it's what's great about it, I feel, is that, again, it's you controlling that pace. Where I had a similar thing with, well, I'm not going to name him, but a very specific boss, where I was like, listen, love everything you're doing here, but it's 11:30. It's 11:30 p.m. I got to fucking hit this review embargo. Somehow. I'm gonna bump you down, because not only, it's not that I just want to get past you, it's that I want to know what happens next. And I'm tired and I'm worn out right now, so let's do it. Whereas last night, I got into another Rancor battle, like Rancor's got this awesome attack where he grabs you and just eats you.
Like, and it's like a one hit essentially.
And so it's like, if you fuck it up, you're fucked. And I fucked it up, but it wasn't, I'm gonna drop the difficulty. It's like, I'm gonna get this motherfucker. And I came back and got that motherfucker, and I felt so good.
Here's the thing, is like, I didn't have that problem in story bosses, Andy, because I'm a fucking gamer and I didn't die once to a story boss.
What are you
fucking
talking about? You texted me about, this wasn't a story boss, the one that was
the one that I was,
I couldn't even have fighting three guys at the end like some aura.
But again, that's the combat, like, scenarios, right? And like in which you're being dropped in, 3 mini bosses in a tiny room. It's a little difficult, Greg.
Yeah, well, pro gamers didn't have to do that.
The thing that I texted you about, where I was
fuck yeah, no,
where I was having difficulty, where I was like, I might have to give up on the platinum, is because there's the force tears that I talked about in my preview. These purple crystals, usually that the blue crystals will give you health or force upgrades, and these like force tears are kind of like broken pieces of that, and then they get you into challenge rooms, whether it's platforming or combat challenges. And there was one that I ran into that's like, you know, we've seen like a couple of like the natural like creatures that live on Kobo, and then there's like legendary versions that are essentially their own like crazy boss fights of versions of those animals. And there's a force tear where you have to fight 3 different legendary beasts all at once. And yeah, that was the moment where I was like, I don't know, like I don't think I can get the platinum. And you were like, why don't you just bring down the difficulty? And I was like, I didn't think about that. I could do that. So
I'll cheese a platinum.
You mentioned the force tears. I want to talk about those a little bit. Earlier I was saying that.
Oh yeah, we have a lot of fun side activities to talk about.
Yeah, like Fallen Order, I really liked because it reminded me of things I loved about many of my favorite games. And I think that this one, in addition to Prince of Persia's kind of puzzle-based platforming, adds these puzzle rooms, these force tears that are mini dungeons, almost Breath of the Wild shrine like tests. But it also reminds me of Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart.
Yeah.
With those and Sonic as well.
Like literally anytime I would go into the platforming ones, I immediately would think of Sonic Frontier.
Yeah,
I never played that game, but how you guys describe that, I'm like, oh, this is kind of Sonic based.
I love that shit though. And I haven't had too many of them come up so far, but it breaks up the gameplay. Like, I just feel like the amount of different styles of gameplay in this that I'm enjoying, it's like, hey man, and it's not like I'm like, oh, I'm kind of over this and the next thing comes. I'm just like, well, this is fun, and that's fun, and that's fun, and this story's cool. And that to me, I think, is why I'm really as high on this. And the other thing is the building off of the new cast of characters from Fallen Order, where they're at now, I just feel like they did a really good job of making me believe, oh yeah, these are Star Wars characters. Like, they've been here forever. They've been in this galaxy, and I'm now a fan of them. And it's like, that's, I think, really impressive for a Star Wars thing to do, because it doesn't always work.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out to a lot of the side characters you meet and a lot of the side missions. Turgle. They have like a shout out to Turgle, but also shout out to in Kobo, right? They have this thing where you go around, there are certain periods where you meet characters, you talk to them, and you send them back to a saloon, and you come back, and it's like, growing with people.
In my preview, I kind of hearkened it back to the homestead in Assassin's Creed 3, where it's like, yeah, you've got people that you can kind of go and help out, and then you're like, hey, why don't you go hang out with us in our town?
Yeah, and they provide, like, you know, I think you talked about the garden on the roof, I think, during the preview. Yeah, like, they have a lot of activities like that, right? It's not just the garden. There are other things where I talk to a character, and I want to compare it to Machine Strike, but I think Gwent might be the better
Holo Tactics. Shout out to Holo Tactics.
Like, they introduced Holo Tactics, and I'm like, oh, what is this? Am I not going to care about this? And I tried it, and I was like, this is neat. Like, it's not Gwent, but it's neat, and I appreciate it. And also, like, that specific activity gives more credence to, hey, go around and scan every enemy that you take out, right? Because whenever you take out a new enemy, that then allows BD to scan them if you press down on the D-pad. And that'll, like, give you info about that enemy you just took out. But then that then sends them back to Holo Tactics to pick as a, a category of character. Yeah, playable character. And I think that's pretty neat.
It's a fun, like, little mini thing you can do to just kind of see, like, let's mash our action figures together and see, like, in a scenario if, like, three shielded stormtroopers can fight against two B2 droids
and
or whatever.
It's
like
cool
that.
Because, like, that stuff is so, like, laid back and so, like, it's small.
It's very passive.
It's very passive, and I'm like, I don't care about growing a garden on my roof. I'll care a little bit about Holo Tactics, though. That seems cool. And also, like, I care about talking to the people that show up in the saloon. And, like, I like to keep up with them, right? Because every now and then they'll give you a rumor. And
I'm I like to keep up with them.
Let's turtle up.
It feels like a community. It's really cool. Yeah. I love the little system of, like, if you talk to someone who is going to give you a rumor.
What's
that you've
a rumor?
Already... A rumor is kind of just like a someone will be like, hey, I heard about this little shack, and that's what led me to that crazy little dungeon. But
it's their version of side quests.
Yeah, their version of, like, little side quests. And so if you've already explored that area, though, and you talk to someone that would have given you that rumor, they're like, they kind of have a conversation of like, oh, I've already gone there, and there's a rancor down there. It's really scary. Don't go there. And then the person's like, oh, darn. But to jump off of the Holo Tactics, the garden, and the collectibles, I just want to talk about the Platinum very quickly. Let me love you. Why do you got to be so frustrating, Platinum? Why has it got to be so frustrating?
What's the annoying trophy?
We've got a couple, right? To talk about the garden, you have to, like, completely open up. Like, there's one kind of patch of garden that you can have, and then there's three that are blocked off. And then eventually you get a gardener that helps you out, and you can plant things. But the whole garden system is, like, time-based. And so I think my main frustration with it is that for you, Greg, you talk about, like, a good Platinum is all about encouraging you to try things here and there.
Do different things.
And I think there's just a few trophies that are, like, you have to 100% complete this side activity, which can get a little frustrating. And again, I know it only speaks to a very specific type of player, but it's something I've definitely noticed where I'm trying to open up every little new plot of land for the garden, but it's all like they won't open until this group of flowers or whatever fully grow, and it tells you of like, it's going to be 30 minutes until this one fully plants, or and this plant's not even giving me a time. That's how long it's going to be. And it's like, that's frustrating. The Holo Tactics I had a fun time with, but then doing like all of the games in a row to get the trophy was like, after, and that's more on me.
Like,
that's like, I'm sitting
boss,
for like
baby.
An hour. I'm getting like, I'm playing this an hour straight of just Holo Tactics and trying to figure out different strategies. And then
that's all the shit you wait for. Let Power Picks guide come through. And here's how you cheese it. Watch this video and do these exact things. Like, all right,
And that's where I think I'm kind of landing on my progress with the Platinum. I think I have to wait for a guide. And again, shout out to any guide writer who's out there working on this, because there's a lot to dive into. There's another trophy that's a little frustrating. There's different shops that you can go around to and buy cosmetics, buy songs for the cantina that you hang out with. And they all kind of offer different things. There's one shop that you have to buy everything from to get a trophy, and I think their shop has like the most amount of stuff, so that's the most amount of collectibles that you have to go like out and find, and it's not a one-to-one, but it's giving me vibes of the Arkham City Riddler trophies, where it's like, it's different because the Riddler trophies in Arkham City, you have to find all of them even to face the Riddler, whereas this is just a trophy thing. It's not a requirement to like get to a cool story moment or anything.
Sure,
so, yeah, just little things like that, where I was like, oh, there's just little things here and there I think would have been would have been nice to kind
of
tweak.
You're way deeper on it than I am, and some of that stuff sounds super fucking annoying. So, yeah, if it was like, okay, like, you know, especially for like, you know, to get the items from the shop and buy them all, the currency is the collectible. So if it just does become that I need a Power Picks guide to find out where, like, are they on my map and are they the thing? And if
similar
not,
to a map upgrade that you got from that one,
it will show me
there is eventually that one. Well, but then you look at it and you're like, I have so much shit to collect essentially. Sure. And so that's the that was a moment I had last night where I'm like, I think I'm tired and I think I need a break from like trying to platinum this. I still want to go around and explore. There's
see,
still
right
a
now I still
planets.
Feel so off leash. It feels great where it's like, okay, cool. I cross the credits. Now I can go and do everything else.
Have
and
fun.
Like last night, just getting to fuck around, like it still feels so good just to turn on a lightsaber and get a new battle.
Team. I was just in the mode of like, I want to be one of the first people to platinum it. And I was had the realization of, I'm not going to be able to be one of the first people to platinum it. So,
I just want to say, obviously, it's kind of funny. We talk about trophies a lot, and like that shit matters to us. And it's like, that is a criticism, matters to a lot of our audience as well. Something else we talked a lot about is the way that these type of games, Barrett, earlier you were saying, like, you want to love this, you want to just keep playing. And I've been a little critical recently of games that don't launch with New Game Plus. This has New Game Plus at launch.
Yes.
And I want to give him a shout out for that. Like, I think that's like a really good move, and like I think should be standard going forward for these type
of bunch of
games.
Cool things in it too.
Yeah, totally.
And like, it does carry over like cosmetic stuff, and that's why I'm like also thinking of like maybe eventually because I want to give the story in the first half specifically another shot. Now that like I've kind of know where we're eventually going and seeing like were the threads that I was just missing that first half. So maybe I start a new journey plus and then. Use that as my, like, all right, eventually I'll use this save as getting all the other collectibles and stuff.
So, Andy, I want to ask you real quick, like, where are you in terms of excitement of getting back to this one?
I'm at the point where if my save completely just shits the bed, then I will gladly start over in hopes that performance is better. I'm not in a huge rush to get back to it right now in the current state that it's in. And so I'm hoping the day one patch alleviates some of the issues. Like in a perfect world, I snap my fingers, Greg. I talk to the genie. I pray to Jesus Christ, and I say, "Yeah, rule number. Yeah, wish number one. Don't fuck me."
Jesus.
Yeah, wish number two.
The genie. Do you think he's talking to Jesus right now?
You said Jesus.
Wish number two, world peace. Wish number three. I wish this game could have had like 3 to 6 more months to cook in the oven.
Yeah,
you know?
that's the thing that gets me a lot with this game is that, man, they already delayed it till here. I wish they would have given it way more time in the oven because for me, that is one of my big things, right? Like if not for the technical stuff, I would be way closer. I probably would be on a 4 out of 5, right? Instead of a 3 out of 5. But like the technical stuff seems so avoidable just in terms of this didn't need to come out now. Like this could have waited until the fall. And it feels like such a repeat of last time around with Jedi Fallen Order.
Yep.
And even like possibly worse this time around in terms of how it's
definitely
running.
Definitely not.
That was the lessons learned.
Not a chance.
Oh, I would argue that like in different ways, it is as big of a problem.
In different ways, it's a big problem. Fallen Order, like the gameplay was broken. And in this one, it was not for me. Like, the amount of times you're on a fucking slide in Fallen Order and you just get stuck on something and, just because of the game, I had to restart.
That's fair.
That shit
I guess,
was, like,
yeah, like,
very bad.
Different stuff. But it's still, nonetheless, like, the same kind of, like, root of it, which is, this needed more time in the oven. Why did we put it out now? Like, why is this game, and not maybe the time doesn't fix this, but why is this game 150 gigabytes and it still doesn't run, like,
so
the
big.
Way it should? It's such a big game.
I have Greg, will you allow me 60 seconds on the clock? For a little just quick tech breakdown.
Yeah, sure.
I have a Core i9 processor with a RTX 4090.
And your time is up.
Again, I've talked about my issues playing at 1440p, and it's not what I'm trying to do running it at high settings because I dropped it to low settings and try to run it at 720p, same issues. So there's just like something underlying that is like just messed up with the game, and I hope that these issues do get fixed. And then I was like, let me play it at work, which has a Core i9 12th generation, so it's 3 years newer than my processor. I'm getting maybe 3 more frames per second, so around like 50 or 49 frames as opposed to like 45. So that's kind of like my thing.
Are
Greg,
you able to
time
like eye that
37
stuff?
What's up,
like are you able to like eye the 3 more frames, like are you, is that just you and your vision, or
these
like,
psychopaths have little things they put up in the corner.
Is
to
that
watch,
yeah? Are you putting up the thing like in the corner?
I notice when frames drop.
60.0 is doing it.
I notice when frames are dropping, right? Like, and when I go to the pause menu and you see it shoot up to like 150, it's like, oh man, it'd be so great. And you go back into the world, and like, here's the thing.
Nice, oh, crisp, that's another 35. Thing. Speaking of that, like going in and out of cutscenes, which was the thing that I always
think about. And it's one of those things I feel like that perfectly encapsulates like kind of the game as a whole. Where
how
it's like
it doesn't
the,
feel
the baked. Promise of the presentation is so cool, and I talk about in my preview of like how it goes from full screen to like the kind of closed so caption cool, bars man. Is so cool, and it makes it feel so cinematic. And then every cutscene runs at 24 frames a second, which is like really jarring. Yeah. I don't know if that was like an artistic choice.
There's also
whatever.
Like a hiccup when you're like going in.
Coming out,
scene,
yeah,
or like
going
a stutter.
In. Yeah, yeah.
Guys, I said this to Greg right before the show went live, but I was like, the biggest like, what the fuck thing about this game, when you start the game up, the Respawn Entertainment logo chugs.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
I mean,
Lord,
do you remember
come
the like,
on, you're making this too easy.
I don't know if this was, if this is still the case today, but that was the same thing for Fallen Order. Was
it's so
the
bizarre.
Intro stuff would chug, and you're like, why?
I just don't have it. Like, just make wild. Put a just a screen, no splash animation.
Yeah.
Like, it just sets you off on the wrong foot with it. And like, that tech stuff is such a bummer. And again, we talk in Kind of Funny a lot about how, like, not cool it is for critics to get game codes with an embargo the next morning. And it's like, well, it's impossible for us to properly review this game. So it's like, I feel for Respawn in the sense where they had this date and they had to hit it. And
they originally like, didn't have this date. This was supposed to come out 6 weeks ago.
It got delayed. And then they're like, hey, the review guide made it very clear. Hey, this is coming in hot, whatever.
Yeah.
It's just, that doesn't excuse it all. I just do want to put out there. It's like, they know, and I just feel really bad for the team over there that like this was what they had to deal with. And
well, I mean,
I feel
this review
have to deal with the this, tech side of it.
This, I mean, this is what makes I guess Kind of Funny special in so many ways, right? That we can have this rambling conversation podcast about it, but the fact that we're back to it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, again, all I want to do is gush about this,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell you about the combat that I loved and this, that, and the other, and the new enemies and blah blah blah, and exploring and yeah. But it's like, we're back here again, and it is going to be interesting to see at a review embargo tomorrow. What does that do to the GameSpot and IGN and everybody else scores and Metacritics and yada, yada, yada. And then let alone public opinion, which already like Fallen Order did get so much deserved shit for not being great. And so, yeah, now you're, you know, delayed again in this, but again, will this represent what people actually turn on later this week when they get jumping in play? We don't
That's
know.
That's the tough thing is, like, not. This could be, like, outdated. This review, in terms of the technical part of it, right, could be outdated in 2 weeks. And hopefully, right?
It could be outdated tomorrow with, like, a different patch, you know?
Hopefully that's the case, right? But, like, just from previous scenarios where we've had this exact same thing with Day Zero and Day One patches, that's usually never the case. Yeah. But also, like, I'm with Andy in the sense of, like, now that I know that the PS5, I'm going to keep my PS5 save and the update's not erasing it, I might put it down and wait until July to come back to this game. Probably because I'm still very, very excited and waiting for Zelda to come through, and that's going to derail my progress with this thing if I keep going. But also, hopefully the game runs way better by then, right? Hopefully I'm getting the performance that I want. Hopefully they've ironed out a lot of those bugs.
I'm interested to jump into it tonight because I assume with Day Zero patch, I can now turn on HDR. And like I said, I was at my desk with it and I played for 15 minutes in performance mode. Looked great. Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully, yeah, it'll be doing a whole bunch of different stuff.
Greg, talk about HDR.
I'm
so what proud a of change,
it.
Man.
I think either way, because I know we're kind of going on a roller coaster of emotions here. Like, I think if you loved Fallen Order, you're going to be in for a great time
100%.
Here. And I think even if you thought Fallen Order was just okay, like you could see the potential of where this franchise could go, I think there is a good chance you'll still have a really good time with this game because I feel like the sequel in a lot of ways follows up on the potential that Fallen Order pulls up. The moment that you're kind of alluding to of like it made you grin, I feel like the genre, I feel like, and kind of specific game it's evoking in that sequence is the promise that Fallen Order put out, and it's fully realized in this game.
Sure.
It's the classic, let's see what they do with the sequel, because this was pretty
they
great.
They did it.
Yeah. And they did it.
Yeah, that's, I think, a great, great kind of endpoint. But Greg, as the lead reviewer here, do you have any final thoughts on Jedi Survivor?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things Barrett said that if you're a fan of Star Wars, right, that's come around a few times. I think it's important to point out that I'm not a Star Wars hater, but I consume everything, I do everything. You know, Star Wars, as you pointed earlier, is a very personal thing, right? And I didn't connect with it, honestly, really until Fallen Order. So Fallen Order and Cal's story continues to be my Star Wars, the thing I won't miss, the thing I won't do. And this sequel delivered on everything I wanted from a sequel and, you know, surprised me. There was plenty of oh shit moments. Literally, I was amazed as I played this. And again, played it. Not just story cutscenes, not just story beats, the moment-to-moment gameplay of doing this and unlocking new abilities and seeing a thing like, well, I know that's going to be important eventually, but how? And then you get it, and then something somebody will say to you, and then 20 minutes later, you're doing it. I was like, this is fucking insane. Yep. Like, I love this game, and I love it to the point that, yeah, you know, tonight I'm going to go home and keep playing it, and it's not, it will be, in some respects, about the platinum, but it isn't in terms of, like, the platinum is out of reach for some reason or some stupid thing I don't want to do eventually, or just, you know, how busy I am, like, I'm still going to, I just want to go do the side missions. I want to exist in this world longer. You know, there's enough with the changing conversations you have with people that even post credits, I want to keep checking in and seeing what characters say about where they are now or whatever, and just to keep fucking turning on my lightsaber.
Shout out really quick to, like, I didn't dive deep into accessibility, but one thing that Andy and I were talking about in the car ride home yesterday was, like, if like audio mixing is weird for you or anything, or if there's like a conversation you can't quite understand, something cool that they added was, like, if you go into the pause menu, it'll show you, like, all, like, recent conversations in text format. So I want to just shout out that.
I wanted that,
like,
for every game.
Yeah, that was so such good. A cool addition. Yeah.
The amount of times that I would, like, just record gameplay and other stuff to, like, let me rewind, run that back. I just wanted to quickly throw out that I completely lost my train of thought, so let's end the podcast.
Well, real quick, I did have one last thing I want to say, and this is a very particular to me thing, but for people listening that, like, know me, I love Marvel, I love Star Wars, I love those games, and I also love the kind of the third-person action adventure narrative video games. I really, really, really loved Guardians of the Galaxy. I think that this is
the game or the movie?
The game. And I think that this reminds me of that a lot, but all the problems I had with that are fixed here, except for the tech stuff. But, like, in terms of the character, all the things I love about the characters in that, we had problems with some of the gameplay and the repetition and stuff. This solves all of that. Like, this is, for people that like that type of game, like that genre, I think that there's a lot of good stuff here. And it being an IP, what an amazing, amazing use of IP. Like,
100%.
This is up there, I think, with the Spider-Mans and the
Arkham.
The Arkhams and things like that.
I remember, like, Fallen Order, the first hour of Fallen Order, I said wow as many times that I felt like playing the first hour of Arkham City, and I think Survivor does that tenfold throughout the game.
And I would say, yeah, final tip or whatever in terms of gameplay and stuff, something that I did late, but, like, you can reset your skill points at any second. Like, yeah. I would say don't be afraid to do that. I was playing, you know what I mean, and I did an early on run of, oh, well, I'm using single blade, dual blade, I want this force thing, I can do mind tricks, okay, blah, blah, blah. And I spread it all out that I got into a boss battle. I was like, this seems way tougher than it should be. And I went and reset the meditation point, put it all into, you know, single blade, put it all into telekinesis. Like, all right, now we're fucking rocking socks.
Does it cost to do it multiple times?
Yes. The first time is free, then they okay. charge you.
Rocking socks.
Rocking rock socks, socks, everybody. Right, let me know in the comments below what you think about rocking socks. And also, how excited you are or trepidatious because of the tech stuff you are about Jedi Survivor. What you thought about Jedi Fallen Order. Honestly, just whatever you want to say, please leave it in the comments below. Get that algorithm spurring up, everybody. You know, big reviews here at Kind of Funny really do mean a lot to us because they are a way we get a lot of new eyes here. So please share this with your friends if they are interested in Star Wars and the Jedi series and Respawn, in video games in general. We're here each and every week on the Kind of Funny Games cast, and we would love your help to get our voices out there even more. But regardless, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a best friend. Until next time, may the Force be with you.
I rebel.